When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
Hello, Best Show.
Hey, I'd like to chime in on the topic, if that's possible.
Yeah, of course. The topic being the worst Wi-Fi network names you've ever seen.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch over the years, I got to say. Off the top of my head, what was there? Alkaline Thighs, Moist Sewage. New Kids on My, I can't say it, it rhymes with clock.
Yeah, please don't. Okay.
Vladimir Putin's Ska album collection. There's some other ones. Pizza Slut. Incorrigible Porridge. Get Ready to Meet My Little Friend. First National Skank. Popcorn Bowl Sucks Deek. I think it was like four E's in that one too.
Okay.
Panty Rummager. What else was there? Pippi Dongstocking. What else was one? Eric Clapton Sucks Fudge. That was my favorite, I think.
Eric Clapton Sucks Fudge.
Yeah.
Not maybe the best era to be a Eric Clapton fan.
Right now, I'm have you been following this?
Yeah, he's that's a little bit of a free fall here from.
Oh my God! Yeah.
But ironically, that Wi-Fi network, he kind of always sucked fudge.
I think so. Yeah. You know, but it's interesting. He's had a really interesting life. You know, people forget about that whole love triangle between him and George Harrison and Patty Hearst. I mean, talk about drama.
Well, it was not Patty Hearst.
Sure it was.
It was definitely not Patty Hearst. It was not Eric Clapton, Patty Hearst, and George Harrison.
Was yeah, they were in, what was it called, the Cymbal and Ease Army? Is that what it was called?
No, it was the Symbionese Liberation Army. But it's, so you're saying the song Layla is about Patty Hearst?
No. Well, I basically, as I understand it, they were members and they recruited her, but they both fell in love with her, and Clapton wrote After Midnight about her because that's when they kidnapped her. And George Harrison wrote Here Comes the Sun about her because she was also a vampire and they knew she'd die if they didn't get her back to the safe house before dawn.
You don't hear how that sounds? That doesn't sound like maybe there's a couple holes in that when you say it back?
Look, I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Fair. Look, I will say this. I did not do any research on this. So I apologize, sir. Oh wait, what is your name, caller?
Oh, we don't need to get into that.
Well, no, I just wanna thank you. But look, I wanna own up to my mistake. But yeah, look, I didn't read. I only read a book about I did do my research. I've read about this. I still think I'm right on this.
I don't know. I feel very confident. I feel quite confident.
Uh huh. And what? Come on, just tell me. You can tell me your name.
No. Look, all right, you know, I've had a few brewskis, and you know, I'm feeling a little bit footloose and fancy free, as Rod Stewart said. Oh man, speaking of Rod Stewart, what if it turned out that he was completely unaware until right now about that sick stomach pump rumor that began circulating in the 70s? Like, what if he didn't know about that ever until now and was just like,
yeah,
what?
He's like, they said what happened 47 years ago? And it's like, how many people, who's heard this? Rod, every kid in seventh grade back then was talking about this.
Rod, more people have heard that story than heard your music.
Yeah, there's people that know you as the stomach pump guy.
That's all they know.
But couldn't name one song of yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody out there who that's how they know Rod Stewart. But caller, I think you're being a little squirrely here.
All right, okay.
What's your name?
To answer your question about who I am, this is Joshua Delvecchio.
No, well, that's very funny, but what is your actual name?
No, it's me. I'm really Joshua Delvecchio.
Wait, hold on a second. You are Joshua Delvecchio, the Newbridge Armored Truck Bandit?
At your service, or disservice, as is usually the case with me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's putting it mildly. For anybody who isn't aware of who this on the line is, Joshua Delvecchio is responsible for robbing something like 12 armored trucks throughout the Quint cities over the last 7 or 8 years.
That's correct.
And you have been kind of like on the lam, like you disappeared a couple months ago, like in August or thereabouts, right when you were about to stand trial.
That's correct.
And
yeah,
you've been MIA. And I mean, Joshua, I think what, you know, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this properly. Is I don't approve of anything you've done. Obviously. Well, I just want to also say that though. But I guess what I'm wondering now is why you'd call the show to make your presence known when you've been kind of like on the lam for months now.
Well, son, it's no secret you were voted Newbridge's third most important influencer in Newbridge Musings magazine. And of course, you came in just after Maurice Kern IV and Commander Danknugs the Magnificent.
Yeah, I was I've come to accept the ranking.
I think I think you'll place higher next year. I really do. I can feel the buzz out here.
Thank you. I'm fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, people are talking about you.
So people are talking about that little survey?
Oh yeah.
That little survey's got people talking.
It's really got people talking. Yeah. But look, I need your help, and my future, my very survival, depends on it.
Okay. How so?
I'll tell you, Tom, I'm very upset about the photo of me the FBI has been pushing on all the media outlets. It's really, really unflattering.
The photo that the FBI uses to identify you?
Yeah, it's the only photo of me out there. And I want to say that picture was taken in the parking lot before a KISS concert in 2019, and I was on shrooms. I was drinking heavily, and I was very bloated at the time. See, I was working at Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, and frankly, I was eating too much of the merchandise. And you know, to make matters worse, our store was right next to that medieval dessert shop, the Brownie Fortress. Have you been there?
The line is so long that I want to go there so badly.
You have to go. It's insane, but it's so good. The food is so good. And I was averaging 6 full-size catapult-shaped brownies per week. Those things are huge.
Wait, what were you? 6 full-sized, what are they, catapult-shaped
brownies?
And how much dessert is that? How much is a full-size?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a full-size catapult. You've seen, like, trying to think of an example, like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Remember, they catapult, you know, like a dead animal over the wall and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm, sure.
That big.
And you're eating 6 of those a day?
They're quite delicious, yeah.
Okay, well, look, I'm a huge fan of desserts, so I you know, physician, heal thyself in that regard, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna put you down for that.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
So the picture was taken under, like, not you not being optimal.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't look my best. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to send you a much better recent photo that I really want you to circulate on your social media accounts. Are you still at Mr. Fahrenheit at yahoo.net?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, I'm sending that right now. And you know, it's interesting. I'm totally ripped in this new photo that I just sent. And basically, I went on Barry Fouché's ultimate expedited extreme shred diet, which it's a really silly, some would say very dangerous diet, but it really did get the job done.
Let me check. You sent it? Okay. Let me just open my email.
Tell you, I lost 37 pounds in 4 days. I mean, who would have thought that microdosing gasoline would melt away all those pounds, all the while making my esophagus feel like it's literally on fire?
But you microdose gasoline?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. That sounds incredibly dangerous.
Well, it's a rush, that's for sure. But man, yeah, those pounds just melted away along with the coating on my inner throat.
Yeah, and probably all of your internal organs. But that's, wait, okay. And I'm seeing oh my God, this picture. You,
right?
You're in front of one of those giant, massive truck tires.
Yeah.
And you're flexing shirtless.
Yeah.
And is that, you have the word stud written on your like collarbone? That's not a tattoo. That looks like magic marker.
No, it's a tattoo. Why is it spelled wrong? Oh no.
No, it's not, but it looks like you wrote it upside down. Did you tattoo yourself with that?
Yes, I did.
Does it really, I mean, no offense. It looks like an upside down tattoo.
Well, now I'm feeling very self-conscious. Oh geez.
But yeah, you're in pretty good shape here. I see the difference. I mean, this picture is somewhat ridiculous.
Well, hey, come on.
I mean, is that a cape you're also wearing?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
Well, I have like a whole kind of like vampire thing that I'm working on too.
Yeah, shirtless vampire.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
With an upside down stud tattoo on your clavicle.
No, it's kind of like, it's not that different than what, like, I don't know, Doyle von Frankenstein is doing, you know, or Jerry Only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess in certain ways, except that they also have, they also are members of the Misfits, which helps give it some context, at least.
Right, they're great musicians, yeah.
They really are great musicians, too. That's the one thing that doesn't get highlighted a lot, is the Misfits had a real, like, jazz fusion background that they masked a lot of times.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, did you ever see Jimi Hendrix punch a guitar? No.
No, he didn't. I saw him set a guitar on fire.
Did you ever see John Entwistle smash 17 basses during one show, sometimes in the middle of a song?
No, he would stick with the same bass and just play it the whole time.
So boring. So boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, hey, but yeah. So this diet I was on, it really melted away the pounds, but it also made me do a lot of bad things.
Like what?
Like, it kind of just, like, took away my filter. So I said some pretty inappropriate things. Like, I was at a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches restaurant, and I
you know, you can just say Chick-fil-A.
No, the name of the restaurant is Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches.
Sure. I mean, it's okay. So you're at a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches restaurant.
And I'm in line, and I heard the server tell another customer that they only use the highest quality white meat. And I said to her that if she ever wanted to see the highest quality white meat, all she had to do was look in the mirror. And I meant it in a romantic way, but now I do see how offensive it was.
Yeah, that's not exactly that's not some, there's some really faulty wording in that.
Yeah, I see that now.
Severely and faulty.
Yeah, I see. And my temper was really ramped up, like really, I was on edge all the time, and I beat up a factory.
You beat up a factory?
Yeah.
What size of factory?
Do you know Mertz Plastics out there on Bifocal Drive?
Oh, yeah. That place is huge.
It's big, right, yeah. They do a ton of business. Anyway, my car broke down in front of it, and I went inside to use the phone to get a tow, and the receptionist was, in my opinion, being a total C. So we start yelling at each other, you know, because she won't let me use the phone, and before you know it, all these workers, these tough guys, start running in. And I'll tell you, man, I just went off on everybody. It was like Newbridge Ninja up in that piece.
Yeah, you sound like a real out of control. You sound like you're out of control.
It was the diet that did it to me. But I will say, you mess with the Delvec, you go home a wreck.
Well, so you got, yeah, well, that's what you kind of pin your identity on is you mess with the Delvec, you go home a wreck. That justifies.
Well, I couldn't find anything. Everything. Delvec EO. Like, what can I rhyme with EO?
Mm-hmm.
You mess with Delvec EO, you.
I'll break your neck EO.
I don't like that. It's not a joke. It has to be a slogan that instills fear.
Why am I helping you come up with a better? No, I don't like it. You're a bad guy. Yeah, you're a legit bad guy.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Between you and me.
Uh-huh.
I don't look like that anymore in the photo I just sent you.
Okay.
Yeah, I underwent drastic plastic surgery to completely change my appearance.
Okay.
All right, I'll send you a picture right now of what I do look like now, but you've got to promise to delete it right after you see it, okay?
Sure. Okay.
All right, just send it.
Okay, let me check my email. Okay, logging in. Password. And which? E2. Okay, here we go. Wait, no, Joshua, this, it looks like you sent me a picture of, like you accidentally sent me a picture of Mike Score, the lead singer of Flock of Seagulls.
No, that's me. It's me.
This is you.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say my surgeon was very hungover when he operated on me, and I don't know why I didn't put on the brakes when he came into the room reeking of marijuana and Jägermeister. I guess I just didn't want to rock the boat. I mean, you know me. I'm always trying to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're always trying to please everybody?
Oh, yeah. I'm a people pleaser big time.
Oh, yeah. No, you seem like a huge people pleaser, just focused on others all the time.
Yeah,
when you...
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah, you know, doing good with those armored truck robberies.
That's one part of my life. There's a whole lot. I help a lot of people. But it's interesting because the doctor said he'd never heard of a flock of seagulls. So I guess it was just one of those happy accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a, wait, I don't know how that would work, though.
Well, I'll tell you what sucks is, under different circumstances, this would have been the first step of realizing my dream of fronting orchestral maneuvers in my pants, an erotic tribute to classic synth pop.
I don't like that at all. And I do kind of like it, though, actually.
You
I take back
it.
The at all part of it.
It's a great concept, right?
It's pretty good. Actually, I'm warming up to it with each passing second.
And me looking like that, I mean, your kid, it's like we would just rule the club scene.
Yeah, that would be pretty dominant.
Yeah,
I really feel like what people are kind of craving these days would be an erotic tribute to synth pop.
I know, and like me up there looking like that, doing not just flock songs, but like, you know, "Reap the Wild Wind" by Ultravox. Can you imagine that?
I think that'd be pretty powerful. Right?
Here comes the mirror man.
Really just going deep with some of that stuff. This means nothing to me.
Oh, yeah.
Vienna.
Oh. You know what song kept Vienna from topping the charts in England? It was number two.
What song?
"Shut Up in Your Face."
Lou Monti.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that back then, 1981, are we talking?
I think so, yeah.
We're talking 1981. Midgeor would look at a copy of NME,
yep,
and throw it across the room saying, like, it's bloody Lou Monti. Has the charts, has number one locked down again. Our record's a bleeding masterpiece.
Yeah. I heard
shut
an
up,
interview with
shut up or you bleeding ago. Face.
I heard an interview with him a month ago and he still mentions it.
He's still mad about shut up or you face. It.
Yes.
Keeping that song. Yeah. It's a funny thing when those songs do that.
Not fair. You know what else isn't fair?
What's that?
I don't get to realize that dream and I'm stuck out here. And I'll tell you, being on the run and having to forage for food every day, it's been a real eye opening experience for me. You know, it's either feast or famine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like sometimes you're literally eating nuts and berries, and sometimes it's like, voila, you come across a bag of six half-eaten Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm going back onto where I stood originally on it. You do not have to say, when you say Chick-fil-A, it implies it's a chicken sandwich.
What do you call Burger King?
You call it Burger King. What do you call it?
Oh. Burger King's hamburger franchise.
So you say, boy, I'm in the mood for some fast food. Let's go to a Burger King hamburger franchise.
Yes, I certainly do.
Well, I don't like it, Joshua. Well,
you know what I don't like? Another thing I don't like about this life?
What?
I really miss seeing my programs.
Your programs? Well, like which programs?
I miss watching Billions with my buddies and having to take a shot every time one of the characters quotes a lyric by an artist that the real world equivalent of that character would absolutely never have even heard of.
Like who? Like what is what's an artist that gets referenced on Billions?
Like I'm pretty sure I've heard like a DA quote a lyric from The Replacements.
Yeah, I could see that. That's not
from Stink.
Yeah, yeah. So they'd quote something from. So they're quoting Stink lyrics. Like The Replacement said on Stink, man. Kids don't follow.
Right. I need a GD job. I just got fired.
So look, you're out there in the woods. Where exactly are you?
I'm not going to tell you that. Are you kidding?
Oh, that was a little bit of a trick. I was trying to.
Oh, yeah. I'm never getting caught. All right. That's just all there is to it. It's okay. Never, ever. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What's going on, Joshua?
Oh, they're pulling up.
You're getting caught, aren't you?
Oh, well, I guess it's true that the best show is the hands-down favorite podcast of American law enforcement, like I've always heard. I don't know. Maybe they must have heard us talking and tracked me down via my cellular telephone.
Yeah. Or maybe they heard the crinkling of all those Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich wrappers.
They might have. It's possible. All right, well, look, I got to go, and it's quite obvious that I am headed for quite a long haul at the hut. I know I did mention missing my shows, but Tom, you know what I'm going to miss most about being locked up?
What's that?
Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches.
Of course you will. You'd said it 80 times. Well, I don't know why I didn't think that was going to be what it was. Well, you might not have a whole lot of them soon, Joshua. And he's gone. There we go.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.